to a little place now, baby. On a rocket ship, 400 million miles above the sunset strip. Get there soon. Oh yeah, we're going to the lost moon.
Greetings, travelers. Do not attempt to adjust your iTunes. You are indeed listening to the Lost Moon Radio Podcast. But I'm not Jupiter Jack. I'm Rand LeBeau, host of the nationally syndicated paraconspiratorial program, The Phenomenal Universe. I'm filling in for Jack, who was unexpectedly called away to mediate a dispute between David Bowie and Morrissey. On my show, The Phenomenal Universe, we concern ourselves with all things in the known and unknown universes. We travel down the rabbit hole, only to discover that it's really a wormhole that leads through a black hole. On the other side, a hole. A lot of science. And that's why Jack asked me to come in today to tackle our theme, science and technology. This isn't your regular Lost Moon Radio podcast, because the only deep cuts we're interested in involve alien autopsies. And the only time we jam is when we're blocking government mind control lasers. So sit back, dim the lights, close the blinds, maybe turn off the lights completely. And keep the volume pretty low. You really can never be too sure who's listening. I'm Rand LeBeau, and this is Lost Moon. Radio.
Hi, have you been helped?
Hi, no, thanks. I could use some help, actually. I'm looking to buy a really nice TV.
Well, you have come to the right place. Let me show you a couple. You're actually standing in front of a great model, 60-inch, 1080p high-def, LED, digital surround sound, internet-ready.
Nice.
But then we also have this guy, which is basically all the same features, but it's also 3D.
What, 3D TV?
It is better than the movies. And it's right in your living room. Comes with four pairs of glasses so the whole family can watch. We watched Avatar on this. It was like you were there.
So is this your top of the line?
Actually, it's not. This was top of the line 2012. The big news right now is this guy, 4D.
4D, what is that?
You get everything you get with a 3D TV. Same picture quality, same feeling that you're right in the action. But with the 4D TV, you watch everything you've ever watched or will watch in a single moment.
I don't understand.
Have you seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
You're seeing it right now. Can't wait for the new Transformers movie. You don't have to. You've just seen it. The fourth dimension is time. That's what makes this all possible.
I don't understand.
No, I didn't get it either. And then I turned one of these on and saw everything I've ever seen or will ever see in a single moment. It's crazy.
Okay. Can I try it? Can I
put Well, this one starts at $20,000.
Okay. Well, that's a little out of my range, I think.
Okay. But keep in mind that it's already $1,500 for the HD and another $2,000 for the 3D. So it's really just $16,000 for the 4D, which is a small price to pay considering you'll never have to buy another television because you've already seen everything you've ever seen or will ever see in a single moment.
Okay, maybe.
Okay, wait, before you decide, I should show you this, 5D.
5D, what is that?
Okay, you're in the show. You're not watching Ted dance and investigate a crime scene, you're investigating a crime scene. You're not watching guys bust ghosts, you're busting ghosts. I've got a niece who loves the Ninja Turtles, and now she loves me because I'm the Ninja Turtles. You ever wonder what it would be like to be Samantha from Sex and the City?
Yes!
Great, wait till you try it. Let me show you a couple more options. 6D is basically the same as 5D, but you get another pair of glasses and it works on your mobile phone. Okay. 7D is where it really gets serious. With 7D, you get everything that came before, high definition, every show in a single moment, you are the characters in the show, and this is what really puts it over the top, you're the inventor of the technology that makes this all possible.
What does that mean?
You are him. You came up with the idea, you go to the pitch meeting, you have the contract negotiations with the other early investors where they try to screw you, but you screw them first. You make the money on the product, you're living in Malibu with a trophy wife, but you fly to Paris for dinner, turn on the set, what are you watching? It's your TED Talk. And here's the crazy thing. You are actually actually delivering the TED Talk at that exact same moment. Now, we don't even have one of these in stock, but we can order it.
That's nuts.
Now, I will say, this is where you really see the price jump. Between the 60, which retails at about $40,000, and the 70, which is $82 million. But the reason for that, if you think about it, is that you are making much more than that on the sale of these high-D TVs.
You're the inventor.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think?
That's a lot of options.
Sure, yeah, I know. You need to take your time. That's fine. I will be right over there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, who are you?
I'm you from the future. Don't buy the TV.
We now bring you another installment of Roger Wildhauser's Andral Gymnasium.
Oh. Boys are girls and girls are boys. She is he, every her is a him. Well, I know a place where you can be who you like. The Roger Wildhauser Andral Gymnasium.
Hello, children. I'm Roger Wildhauser, fashion icon, poet, lead singer of glam rock band Chelsea Telegram, and this is the Andral Gymnasium. Now, when the British Broadcasting Company first approached me about doing a television show for children, I had two conditions. One, that I would be able to speak frankly about my sexuality. And two, that we could do an entire episode on science, because I'm just mad about it. Now, science can be many things, like biology, which is all about the body, or physics, which is all like balls on ramps, or chemistry, which is that ineffable attraction you sometimes have with another person. Oh, what's that sound? It's the roar of a tiger. That means it's animal time. One, two, three, four.
Oh, the chimpanzees and the cats go meow. There's something holy about the moo of the cow.
The animal kingdom, the animal kingdom, the animal kingdom, the animal kingdom.
Now, animals are another kind of science, which is called zoology, and they have much to teach us. Today's animal is a bonobo monkey. Terrence! Good, right. Now, I love the bonobo, because the bonobo live in a society that's run by the mums, not the dads, and they have no war, because what happens is each tribe of bonobo have a queen, and when tensions flare between the tribes, the queens meet up. But instead of fighting, they just shag, which means making love, but for two straight days, and after that, there's peace. Just imagine, children, if we lived in a society like the bonobo, where if England and Israel were on the brink of war, instead of sending armies, Queen Elizabeth and Golda Meir would just, you know, meet up. Like at a spa, like a nice hotel.
Really nice place.
Right. Oh, it's somewhere elegant. Well, I actually wrote a song about this, but a woman from the BBC would not let me perform it. Animal time is now over. Right. Oh, someone must be at the door. I know who it is. It's a scientist named Jessica Blackwell come to speak with us about clones. Thank you for coming.
It's my pleasure.
Now, Dr. Blackwell, let me begin by saying that I am very much against clones.
Oh, well, Roger, you know, you're not alone there. Since advances in embryology have raised the possibility of cloning, many people have raised ethical concerns.
Yes, I agree, because when I was very young, I went to a birthday party and there was a clone there. And he was wearing hideous makeup and he had garish oversized shoes and he was trying to be entertaining, but we all hated him. And for many weeks after that, I had terrible nightmares about clones.
I think that there might be some confusion here. When I speak of cloning, I'm referring to the process of using eugenic manipulation to create replicas of animals.
Yes, this too. He used balloons, and he would twist them, and they would make this terrible squeaking sound, and in the end, they looked nothing like what they were meant to be.
I think you might be talking about clowns.
Right, clones.
No, clowns.
Is there a difference?
Oh, yes, of course. Clowns are comic performers with wigs and red noses, and, yes. And clones are like twins.
They dress alike.
No, they're genetically identical. If I were to make a clone of you, it would look just like you. It would have your hair color and your eye color.
Like a Xerox.
Yes, something like that, yes.
Right, that would be very useful. Terrence, if we had a Xerox of me, I could dress it in my outfits to see which one would be best.
Yeah,
and it would be better than a mirror because I could see it from behind.
It's a great idea, Rog. I love it.
Also, it could learn to play the bass, so we could finally replace Small David.
Oh, great. That's great. That works out well.
Dr. Blackwell, thank you so much for this information. We've been thinking about replacing the bass player.
All right,
now it's time for me to do a song about clones. But I will say, I wrote this song before we had this conversation. Clones, they're evil. They bore you with their juggling and their tricycle race. Clones, they ruin our birthdays. And if you don't find them amusing, they'll spray seltzer in your face. They're the most boring part of the circus. Their calliope music is tedious. They're packed 2 dozen in a Volkswagen, and that's too many people in a car. That's too many people in a car. Say no to Bozo. Come on now.
Say no to Bozo.
Sing with me now.
Say no to Bozo.
The club. All right, children, now we have to take a short break for the BBC, but after that we're going to perform a chemistry experiment to see if Dr. Blackwell and I have chemistry. I hope you're having a very happy Saturday morning.
That was an excerpt from the 1975 BBC series Roger Wodehouse's Andraw Gymnasium, a show that I used to love as a kid. Really got me interested in experimenting with science, and for a brief period, my sexuality. Before that, you heard a tape from an alternate dimension in which Best Buy is a thriving electronics business. Perhaps now is a good time to tell you a little bit about myself. I developed my love of radio early on. By the age of 13, I had my own FCC license. I attended Columbia University, where I double majored in theoretical physics and neuroscience. In the late 1980s, I participated in a volunteer medical experiment which gave me access to parallel dimensions. After that, I followed the band Fish around for a couple of years. Now I host a radio program. Jack really encouraged me to make this podcast my own, so I'm going to go ahead and put a call in here to a listener who emailed me earlier about a strange encounter. Greetings, traveler. This is Rand LeBeau from the Phenomenal Universe.
Yeah, hello. I was raped by a merman.
I'm sorry, did you say you were raped by a merman?
Yeah, that is correct.
Wow, that's pretty astounding. Yeah. Were you in a body of water at the time?
No, I was at the Denny's off the I-5 in the bathroom.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and this merman comes in, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming to replenish his fluids in the sink or toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I mean, I don't even know why, man, but when he saw me, I'm immediately put under his spell.
Like a hypnosis?
That is correct. He used his sea powers to seduce me into one of the stalls, and before that, he made me block up the door with a trash can.
And then you, I'm not sure what the correct terminology is here, but I suppose you spawned with him then.
Yeah. Unwillingly.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, how did you know that this was a merman?
He was incredibly wet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he said his name was Gil.
Is this the first time this has happened to you?
No.
This has happened before?
Yeah, it has. And I think it might be this particular Denny's, right?
So how many times has it happened?
I don't know, man, like 4 or 5 times.
Wow, well, it's hard to refute that evidence. Let's check in with another fan who emailed me. Hello, this is Rand LeBeau from the Phenomenal Universe.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I was raped by a ghost.
Actually, you know what? We should probably move on. Stay on the line, though, and I will give you the number of a friend of mine who does supernatural crisis counseling. And remember, for all our listeners, if you've been molested by a magical creature, there is help. You're not alone. Let's listen to a piece here. Science, like relationships, is all about honesty. Here's a track.
be keeping you out this late. Called the lab and asked your colleagues to put you on the phone. They said you hadn't been at work in 27 days. My friends asked me what it's like to love scientists, to say they live in a world we can't possibly understand. It's all periodic tables and isotopes, long encrypted emails and all those trips to Iran. Yellow cake, uranium was the subject of an email that you sent, and the attachment was labeled blueprints for device. It was mostly in Farsi, didn't know what it meant. But what I really noticed was the female addressee. Oh, Roger, are you cheating on me? Roger, what you got that I don't? Does she send you letters like I did before? Do you keep them with your wires and your detonators locked up in that safe of yours? Made of solid lead. Why are there aluminum rods underneath the bed? And a Geiger counter in your shaving kit. And a ticket stub to Niger in your suit pants pocket. Oh, Roger, 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 Roger. Why'd you go to Niger, 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 Niger? When I asked you about it, it's pronounced Niger. Did she tell you that when you met her there? Suspension bridges, all the bridges you've been taking pictures of. Oh, Roger, that bridge is like our love. It connects our hearts with a single road. But this other woman, Roger, she's gonna make a bridge go up in fire and smoke. Fire and smoke. A bridge is coming down in fire and smoke. Pieces of metal look out below. Cars and trucks are tumbling down. Fire and smoke. It's a
from the Journal of Charles Darwin, naturalist aboard the HMS Beagle.
October 3rd, 1835. It is the evening of the 1,371st day of my oceanic journey, and the second week of my stay on the Galapagos Archipelago. The day began with my observing of the large, peculiar tortoises found on the south side of this island. Over the course of 4 hours, I observed them move an estimated 60 yards. It was super boring. And in retrospect, I'm not even sure why I spent my time doing that, since I still can't prove that they are a distinct species from the tortoises on my side of the island. One thing I have been able to prove today is that I'm gaining weight, which is not super great because I'm already a big, ugly schlub. Survival of the fittest? More like survival of the fattest. Good one, Darwin. After gorging myself on a luncheon of oysters, even though I know they're terrible for me, I decided I'd get off my fat ass and do some science. I have thus far catalogued 21 distinct species of bird on this island, 15 of which are unique to Galapagos. On Thursday, I was heartened to discover what I believe to be yet another species of bird. So, after journeying down a steep and thorny bluff to observe them more closely, I discovered that they totally weren't, making my afternoon a total waste of time. But at least it gave me the opportunity to rip my pants and stub the shit out of my toe on the way back up. So it wasn't a complete wash. Though today did not provide many satisfying answers, because that would bring me, of course, way too close to actually accomplishing something with my life, it did provide a number of questions for further inquiry. One, are the tortoises on the south side of the island related to the tortoises on the mainland? Two, if so, what is the source of their variation? Three, why am I even here? Four, is everybody back in England totally having a great time without me? Five, why do I keep eating oysters that make me super fat? Six, why would someone of the opposite sex ever like me? Seven, why would anyone ever choose to be a naturalist? Here's a list of jobs that are better than naturalist. Chimney sweep, scullery maid, child prostitute, coal miner, opium addict, guy who eats shit for a living, guy who works for the guy who eats shit for a living, gravedigger, apprentice gravedigger, slave, any other kind of scientist. Well, as much as I'd like to keep doing this, I'd best retire so that I can get an early start tomorrow watching more fucking turtles and doing nothing with my life in a place nobody cares about. Yours truly, Charles Darwin, professional asshole.
That was an excerpt from Darwin's Voyage of the Beagle, or as it was originally titled, Oh God, Why Am I Such a Fat Piece of Crap? English biologist Thomas Huxley once said, the known is finite, the unknown is infinite. Unfortunately, this show is finite, and we're at the end of it now. The good news is, once the universe ends its expansion and begins to retract, we'll be doing the whole show again, only in reverse. So for those of you just joining us, hello, and please stay tuned for a great piece about Darwin. Oh, and I should mention, Jupiter Jack will be back for the next podcast. In fact, he emailed me to let me know that tensions have cooled in the Bowie-Morrissey conflict. Turns out they were able to bond over their mutual love of themselves. I'm Rand LeBeau, of the Phenomenal Universe, and this has been Lost. Moon. Radio.
To download this and other Lost Moon Radio podcasts, go to lostmoonradio.com. If you're in Los Angeles, come see Lost Moon Radio live at KPCC's Crawford Family Forum on March 23rd. Details on our website.